Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll follow up now on the breathtaking drop in standardized test scores announced for New York State last week. In this first year that the tests were based on the tougher national curriculum known as the Common Core. With me now is the Chancellor of the New York State Board of Regents, Meryl Tisch. She is also the chair, by the way, relevant to another thing that's going on in New York right now. She's the chair of Bill Thompson's campaign for mayor. Dr. Tisch, thanks so much for doing this, and welcome back to WNYC.
Pleasure to be here, Brian, and I bring you warm greetings from Billy Tisch.
And we love Billy and all she's done for WNYC. And listeners, we can take your calls for Dr. Tisch, parents, educators, anyone, direct access to the State Board of Regents Chancellor here on WNYC at this moment of transition and, frankly, of shock, 212-433-9692. So are these test scores what you expected, plummeting in the city to less than a third of kids scoring as proficient, and even so much worse in other places in the region, 16% in Yonkers, 6% in Hempstead, 6?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, obviously, this is a very stressful time in schools, school districts, and believe me, I think all of us who are interested in education and in teachers and in principals and students and parents understand the stress. But I want to underline the fact that it would be a mistake to interpret these decline in test scores as a decline in student learning or, quite frankly, in very importantly, or a decline in educator performance. The results from these new assessments, I think, will give educators and parents and policymakers and the public a more realistic picture of where students are in this pathway to becoming college and career ready, to be well prepared for a world that really awaits them as they graduate from high school. And I believe that we are in a moment of transition. I believe we are at the beginning of a generational challenge to make sure that the students in the United States, and for our particular reasons, in New York State, are prepared to be competitive in a 21st century economy.
So one of the concerns that people have is that the state gave these tests based on the Common Core standards this year, what you were just describing, really, as the more intense preparation that people really need to be work-ready in today's world and college-ready. But these tests were given before the tougher curriculum itself was fully implemented. That would be like teaching them arithmetic, then testing them on calculus. Did that result in inaccurately low scores?
May I push back on that premise
a
little bit? The preparation across the state has been uneven. 2.5 years ago, New York State announced that we were shifting to the Common Core. In some districts, there has been a magnificent amount of capacity building around professional development to teach to the Common Core. Other districts, not so much. As we go forward here, I'd like to remind your listeners that New York State spends over $1 billion a year towards professional development. It is going to be our ability to target those dollars to make sure that every teacher in every school district gets the preparation that is required in order to teach to this new higher standard. As for curriculum, I would just say that Common Core, Commissioner John King, with whom the Board of Regents works, Commissioner King often says, you cannot deliver Common Core curriculum in a box, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is. This is about being able to teaching students to read challenging texts. We're going to support teaching them to support their arguments with evidence drawn from text, to write from sources, to achieve deep conceptual understanding. For all of those parents listening out there, I would say one thing. For years, we have been listening very intently as people have say to us, so much classroom time is waste on drill and kill. In other words, just teaching kids something that they can spit back in a standardized test. This is a move away from that. If this movement is successful, and I hope it will be, and I have every reason to believe it will be, we will be moving away from classrooms that drill students just for the purpose of regurgitation.
Which would be great.
Yes.
But were the tests this year based on that deeper standard of comprehension and ability to think and what you were just describing, were the tests based on that when the teaching has not yet been taken to that level?
Brian, I would say, as I said a moment ago, it's been uneven. I go to schools across the state. I was particularly, I'm not going to name the school, but there was a school that I went to, a very high-need school, a high school, very large comprehensive high school, with a lot of immigrant students, students from varying backgrounds. And I sat through a professional development hour with teachers where they were producing curriculum and instructional materials to align with Common Core. It was fantastic to see. I'm not going to name the school, but I would say I went back and I checked in with the principal of the school, and I said, you know, I know you're getting all these kids from middle school coming into your high schools. Tell me what you're seeing. And he said, from the middle schools that we draw from, there has been an enormous amount of preparation on Common Core. Unfortunately, from surrounding middle schools, very little. It is the unevenness of the preparation that I think we are seeing that contributed to the plummet in the scores. Right. And I would say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a new test is given, scores go down. There is no question about that. It's a new format. It's a new way of doing things. I would expect with targeted professional development, with educators, parents, and students getting used to the new formatting of the tests, the new requirements, I believe that you're going to start to see a steady rise. I would say one more thing to your listeners. I would urge you all to look at what happened in Massachusetts. Massachusetts undertook this hard work about 15, 17 years ago, where they decided that Massachusetts was going to lead the pack in terms of high standards. It was a very painful few years, very like what we are going through now in New York, but Massachusetts has emerged as the gold standard in terms of academic achievement across economic spectrums, across ethnic spectrums for the country. So I would say we have something to learn from. We've seen this play out before, but I would urge everyone to understand that this decline should not be interpreted as a decline in student learning or a decline in educator performance.
My guest, the New York State Board of Regents Chancellor, Dr. Merrill Tisch. We have many listeners calling in with questions, as you could imagine. And let's go first to Ian in Peekskill, a middle school English teacher. Ian, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, Brian. Good morning.
What's your question for Dr. Tisch?
Well, my question is basically the appropriateness of the test. I mean, I teach middle school grades 6 through 8, and my kids sat through 4.5 hours of English testing, and then the next week, 4.5 hours of math testing. We had three sessions of an hour and a half each, which, I mean, my kids are 11, 12, 13, 14. This is a huge amount of testing. They were getting stressed. My own son, who was in third grade, was getting sick from the just from the stress.
Mm-hmm.
As well, some of the tests were designed that the second day of the English test, it was so long, some of my top students were not able to finish it. I mean, these are kids who consistently scored fours on the tests in previous years.
That's 4 out of 4. That's the highest level.
Right, right. They were not able to complete this test. I mean, they were my kids were weeping that they couldn't
do it. Dr. Tisch, talk to
yeah.
Ian.
Ian, it's Merrill Tisch. Obviously, it stresses me beyond anything you would could imagine to hear that children felt so upset with the testing. I would say, Ian, a couple of things. I would say, first of all, the highlighting of the testing in terms of what's been going on in the press, in terms of what parents are reading in their local newspapers, I think that added to the stress. Additionally, I think teachers were well aware that this was the first year in New York State where student test scores were going to be used as a barometer for teacher performance. I think all of those factors, coupled with the new format of the test and the new requirements of the test, have added to an unusually stressful situation. Anyone who thinks that we are out there to stress children, I would say, then you don't know us. But I would also say one more thing. Ian, in New York State, 80% of the youngsters graduating from our high schools, when they go on to two-year colleges, need to be remediated in math and English. That means that they are paying college tuition for high school credit. What happens is, when you look at the completion rates, after 6 years in a two-year college, the graduation rates hover between 22 and 24%, which means our young adults are not prepared to do college-level work when they leave our high schools, are not graduating two-year colleges, and are leaving these programs in huge amounts of debt. So I would say the urgency is clear in the numbers.
Right.
I
respect the urgency. I just between the effect of the test itself and then the very low scores, I mean, I think my students are getting a different message.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that is a challenge for the adults. Students will perceive a message from us. If we set this out as a new baseline, as a place where we all feel we need to go in order to assure not only the future of our state, but the future of our country, their futures, in order for them to be educated to participate in the greatest democracy in the world and not to be left out, then that is one thing. If adults are going to pass their stress along to students, I would urge them not to. As I said, this was an unusual perfect storm of events. I am expecting, as this first wave of data comes across our desks, I'm expecting that the level of the rhetoric will change to an intense focus on professional development around curriculum and instruction.
Ian, thank you very much for your call. And let's go to another middle school teacher. This is Sean calling from Levittown. Sean, you're on WNYC.
Hi. Thanks, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I think that all this focus on testing is a distraction from actually learning and achieving the Common Core standards. I'm a big fan of the Common Core standards, but I don't know. I feel like all this testing is just
How do you assess the achievement of the Common Core without tests that are calibrated to it? Sean.
So I think that it's great to give us as local schools and as teachers opportunities to assess ourselves and to reflect upon our own work inside our schools. We can make our own exams and our community can actually assess us. I welcome parents and students to assess me. I don't think mailing a test out or doing it online, as I think is proposed for upcoming years, is going to really help me understand my own students. I spend so many hours trying to figure out how my students are doing and tracking them and having students track themselves. I don't need another metric.
Sean.
I think the main thing here is that all this professional development in our state is going to become about testing and how to raise scores. And I think it's all a focus on convergent thinking, finding the right answer when we should be teaching our students what the Common Core focus is, which is divergent or creative thinking.
Sean, thank you very much. I'm going to get a response for you from Dr. Tisch. And you know, Dr. Tisch, that we hear this so much.
I do.
You know, whether it was the scandal a few years ago because the tests were too easy and so the standards were actually being dumbed down, or the extreme anxiety now because the tests are seen as too hard, there's the underlying question of, well, we're still teaching to a test.
You know, I would remind your listeners, Brian, that we took a lot of this into account as we designed the system. And one of the things we did was we went to the federal government and we said New York State is probably going to be the first state, with the exception of Kentucky, to move to the new Common Core assessments. And the one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to identify our schools, our teachers, or our students as failing. So in our waiver requirement to the federal government, we sought and got permission not to identify any schools or school districts as failing based on this new set of tests. We're kind of holding schools and school districts harmless. Additionally, one of the things that we did, knowing that teacher evaluation was going to kick in this year across the state, with the exception of New York City, was we also created the algorithm about teacher evaluation, where we said, based on this new test, we would effectively have the same number of teachers performing in each of the categories, the bottom category to the top category, and ultimately that is what we did create. We've worked very closely with the teachers union in the design of evaluation. We've worked very closely with the state, with the legislature, very closely with the governor's office. In New York State, there is a law. The law says that state tests are going to align with Common Core standards, that there will be an evaluation system in New York State based on student performance. But we were very clear in New York State that we were not going to overly count student test scores to evaluate teachers.
All right. Let me move on because we're running out of time. I want to get one clarification from you and then ask you one political question.
Sure.
I've been reading the blog of Diane Ravitch, a former assistant U.S. Education Secretary and one of the fiercest critics of these tests. And one point she keeps coming back to is that these tests are set to reflect the National Education Proficiency or NAEP standards, which really measure if a student is doing work that would get them an A. Proficiency equals an A. So when we say 70% of the students in New York City tested not proficient on the new state tests, so 70% failed the tests, Diane Ravitch says that's misleading, whether the education commissioner says it or whether the media says it. They're not failing anything. They're not below grade level necessarily. They're just not getting the equivalent of an A. Does she have a point?
You know, I never comment on what Diane says. She's obviously a great scholar and very thoughtful. We just have a divergent opinion here. I would say, however, that over the years, Diane has changed her mind about testing. First, she was for testing, then she was against it. I would also remind everyone that she did sit on the NAEP board, and so she is very knowledgeable about the use of testing, et cetera, et cetera. I don't ever discount anything Diane says, but I would say to your listeners one thing. New York State is committed to educating every student, no matter where they live, no matter what their socioeconomic background is, to a standard. And that standard is to align them with the possibility that when they graduate from high school and have a high school diploma in New York State, they actually have a choice. Do they want to go pursue a career, or do they want to pursue higher education? Right now, across this great country and this great state, many, many youngsters, and we can visualize where those youngsters live, graduate high school with no choice at all. Now, we could sit back and be complacent about that, or we can have really tough conversations about it.
But did this test, in order to get, let's say, a 3 or a 4, which are the two, quote, passing grades on this test, did that measure A-level work, or did that measure merely grade-level work?
In my opinion, it measures grade level work.
Okay. And politically, you chair Bill Thompson's campaign for mayor. The teachers' union has also endorsed him. Do you think he's the best candidate to run with these test scores and implement the Common Core in the best way? Because I'm going to play you something that he said. This is just 25 seconds of Bill Thompson about education in the candidates' debate the other night. Listen.
It was clear from last week and the results, and those results were disastrous, that we need to stop this focus on standardized testing, this obsession with standardized testing. We need more of a focus on comprehension and critical thinking. We need to bring content back into a school system again. We need to make sure that when our children graduate, they can do either go to college or off to the world of work with the skills that they need to succeed. And we might need to stop this closing of schools. Where schools are failing, we need to work to turn them around, not give up on those schools.
So how much do you agree with that?
I would say that this new push to Common Core will change the paradigm of testing. For a decade, testing has been driving instruction and curriculum. This obsession with drill and kill has been driving what kids are exposed to in the classroom and how classroom time is used. If we start to focus on critical thinking and the development of critical thinking, I believe instruction and curriculum and best practice will drive the test. That is a paradigm shift, and that is why we're taking this on.
So the better tests can coexist with not teaching to the test, drill and
kill. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Let's hope it works out that way.
I hope, Brian.
The New York State Board of Regents Chancellor, Dr. Merrill Tisch, thank you so much for coming on and answering our questions
today.
Thank
you, Brian. Have a good day.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, playwright and performer Young Jean Lee on her acclaimed show and album called We're Gonna Die. Stay with us.